With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
I don't believe the gospel has been used and found impotent. I believe the gospel hasn't been used because it is powerful. So I believe the gospel is the power of God. First of all, it's the power of God to give us a new heart, to give us a new record. It is the power of God to deliver us from the dominion of death to the kingdom of life, from the dominion of sin to the kingdom of forgiveness and of acceptance in Jesus Christ. And so I believe its most powerful work is bringing dead sinners to life and a living relationship with Christ.
Welcome and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry brings us part two of the message, His Gospel, Our Proclamation. We continue with our series, The Ecclesia, God's Church for the Ages. The destruction and devastation caused by a bloody war or a powerful natural disaster is sometimes described as hell on earth. But in reality, there is only one time and place in history when hell really did come to earth. William Hendrickson wrote of the crucifixion, "Hell came to Calvary that day. Hell came to Calvary that day, and the Savior descended into it and bore its horrors in our place." Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who bore the full measure of God's wrath against your sin, so that you might receive the gift of eternal life? If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part two of the message, His Gospel, Our Proclamation.
Look with me now, if you would, in Romans 1 verse 16. Verse 16, this is the word of God, it's the truth. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." First of all, Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of," can anybody give you the next word? "The gospel." Not a gospel, the gospel. That's called the definite article. I did stay awake long enough in 10th grade English to get the definite article. Not the indefinite article, a gospel, the definite article, the gospel. There's something definitive. Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures. He was raised according to the scriptures. It's biblical, it's historical, it's a fact, it is absolutely definitive. And people have got to hear that. People aren't going to heaven because they see your changed life. They're not going to heaven because they're your friend. They go to heaven through Christ, and they come to Christ by what? Faith. And they get faith how? Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. It's through the foolishness of the message proclaimed that we are being saved. There's something definitive called the gospel that we've got to communicate to people. When we leave here, you've got to communicate it. You've got to communicate the gospel. He was talking about the sportsman's blast. Nobody's going to heaven because they come to the sportsman's blast, but there will be somebody there who's going to share the gospel. And then hopefully you who brought them, you've been sharing the gospel. So we've been planting, we've been watering, we've been cultivating, and then God gives the increase. This thing called the message. Secondly, it is the power of God. The world hates it. The world laughs at it. Talk shows make fun of the gospel, ridicule it, mock it. All kinds of people love to do that. But let me assure you, it is the power of God. Number three, it's the righteousness of God. Harry, why is that important? Well, because of God's power, I can be forgiven of my sin. Jesus paid for all my sins. But you know what? While that shuts the gates of hell and I can't go to hell because Jesus has already drank the cup of hell that I could be forgiven and pardoned. But heaven is for whom? It's for the righteous. I got a problem. My righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. I can't get to heaven on my baptism and my church membership, my good intentions, my giving, my stewardship, or anything, because it's all polluted with my sin. So how can I get to heaven? Good news. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become what? The righteousness of God. I am cleansed by his blood. I am clothed with his righteousness. Every time God looks at me, he sees the righteousness of God. And therefore, I am forgiven and I am accepted through Christ. Number four, the gospel is inclusive. The gospel is inclusive. It is for any and all sinners. It is a trustworthy statement. Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? He saved sinners. White ones, black ones, rich ones, poor ones, young ones, old ones, male, female, murderers. How about Moses, Paul, and David? Religious terrorists. How about Paul? He saved sinners. We got a great God who saves sinners, and you're never so far away, he can't save you and bring you to be with himself. It is inclusive. Whosoever will may come, we preach it to all the nations. Number five, it is exclusive, but it is only those who put their trust in him that are saved. Because he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. But if you flee to Jesus, there's a rock, there's a refuge. And that Jesus has already paid the penalty for you. Therefore, instead of being in the books and judged by my deeds, I'm in the book of life and saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He is my strength, my hope, and my all. And it is only those who are in Christ that are saved. So please come to him. That's the message we got. That drives everything. I mean, Christ-centered, whose gospel is it? It's Jesus. What is the purpose of the gospel? To tell people what Jesus did. What does the gospel do? It brings you to Jesus, as Jesus has come for you. It is a glorious message that empowers everything. And there's one truth that I believe these facts bring home to us. And that glorious truth, and maybe let's do it this way in a takeaway with you. Let me just give you a takeaway. Very last thing I want to mention to you is this. The gospel reveals to us, and I can't do it any better than Jack. I've kind of wordsmithed it some, but this is what Dr. Jack Miller said, my professor at Westminster. The gospel reveals to us that our sin is worse than we ever dared to imagine. I mean, it does. It tells us your sin. You know, you're not sin sick. You're sin dead. The wages of sin, one, is death. Man, I don't know about you. I can get that out of the way before I get to Highway 280. I mean, how many sins do I? I mean, 280. Sin, thought, word, and deed. Good gracious. I mean, folks, I am a sinner, and I'm not only a sinner. I can't save myself. My sin is worse than I ever dared to imagine. It makes no sense. Why would you take fruit instead of God? Why would you walk away from your family instead of flee to Jesus? Why would you do that? It makes no sense. But my sin is so subtle and so deceiving, and it's worse than I ever dared to imagine. But praise God, God's grace is greater than my sin, and it's greater than I ever dared to hope. And he has paid for all of my sins, and there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now I have to, can I just conclude this, if you'll allow me, with three stories to kind of bring this. I mean, I know it's the, I know when you preach the gospel, people are going to make fun of it. I know they're going to make fun of it. They do it all over the place, but don't, it's the power of God. It is, just cut it loose. It saves sinners. It reclaims marriages. It changes families. It changes cultures and nations. It's unbelievable. It's the power of God, even while they're laughing and mocking. Now, some of you have heard this illustration. Let me give this right quick. I was 16 years old. My dad was in baseball, minor league baseball. There's a lot of month at the end of the money. And so when I got 16, I thought, hey, happy birthday, son. Maybe we'll go to a ball game, but my dad gets in free for all those. So maybe that's what we'll do. He said to me, son, I got a car for you. I said, a what? He said, I got a car for your 16th birthday. He said, you're going to drive it to school. It's 9 miles to school, so you're going to drive it to school. And I said, great. And I said, Dad, what kind of car did you get? He said, a 57 Ford. Now, folks, some of you, I got to transport you back into another culture at another time. At my age in the 60s, if you couldn't get a 57 Thunderbird or a 57 Chevy, number three was a 57 Ford. I said, "Nah, Daddy, you didn't do that." "Yep, did." So I went down to the South Carolina State Highway Patrol, and I went to the auction. I got a South Carolina State Interceptor, and I got it for you, 57 Ford. I said, "Wow." I ran out the door at 1342 Tarrington. I went around the corner and my face hit the ground. It was a 57 Ford. I turned to Daddy and I said, "Daddy, I am not driving that to school. In fact, I'm not leaving the driveway with it." He said, "Why? What's the matter, son?" I said, "Daddy, it's pink." The car was pink. It had black fender skirts, black hood, pink. Daddy looked at me and said, "It's not pink, son. It's coral." I said, "Daddy, at East Mecklenburg High School, they don't make a distinction between pink and coral. I can tell you that. I'm in a fist fight every day the rest of my life. This thing is pink." And he said, "Son, I got it at an auction, and I paid $75. And I said, "Now, did you pay them or did they pay you?" I said, "Daddy, I can't do this." He said, "Now, listen." Then my daddy said something. My daddy had a way of saying things that they're in the Bible somewhere. Just the way he said it. I'm still looking for this one. It's there. I know. Hezekiah 3:4, something like that. He said this. He said, "Son, you're going to drive the car because a poor ride is better than a proud walk." That's in the Bible somewhere, I'm telling you. He said, "It's 9 miles to that high school. You can walk it or you can drive this car. That's your choice." And I'm contemplating. He said, "Now I'm going to help you just a little bit more." He said, "Come here, I want you to pick the hood up." So I picked the hood up. And they looked in there, and this was a... They would build this engine 2 years later, but they had done it special for the South Carolina State Highway Patrol. This was an Interceptor. And I looked in, there was a 390 engine with 2 4 barrels. And I said, "Daddy, I really like this coral car." Now, I don't want to give any ideas to any kids here, so I'm not going to give you any explanations, except I will say this. There's a lot of people that pulled up to me next to me at stoplights with Corvettes, 57 Thunderbirds, 57 Chevys. They looked at my pink 57 Ford, and they would laugh at it. And I'd just point. And they'd laugh again. I'd point one more time. I did not keep count of the number of Corvettes I sucked up my exhaust pipe. But there were a number of them. Now, what's my point? The world laughs, but Briarwood is just going to pick up the hood. Because underneath the hood is the power of God. The power of God to save sinners. Everything else destroys. He saves. I have to keep being reminded of that. So as I'm being reminded of that, God has been very gracious to me, and I'm going to ask you for about 5 extra minutes. I'm going to ask you for that because I want to tell you something that God has very graciously done for me. I've served 3 churches. And to remind me that worship, evangelism, discipleship, mercy, everything in the church has to be Christ-centered and gospel-driven. God has been very gracious to me because I am a hard learner. And He has been very gracious to me to teach me. My first church was in Pinelands in Miami, Florida. The Embers guys have heard this, so they'll have to bear with it. But guys, the average age was 69. You've heard me say that. Lady that figured that out, been 59, 10 years. And the average age was 69. My congregation, everybody ate dessert first. They may not be around to the end. Nobody bought green to bananas. One good flu season, I was out of a church. No children. My 3 kids were the only kids in the church. Now, where do you start? My elders didn't know the Lord. They weren't even converted. Where do you start? I went, sat down, talked with a bunch of pastors. One was Terry Geiger, and he looked at me after a while, and he said, "Well, Harry, I think you need to start. Why don't you try preaching the gospel?" Bingo. Now, the first Sunday I was there, I got to the end of the service, and I went to the back to shake hands. Nobody was there. Now, they may be 69, but they were quick. I mean, they were out there. I went out in the parking lot. I was stopping people, shaking hands. And 5 minutes after 12, I turned back to go back just trying to stop people in the parking lot to say hello to them. And I came back 5 minutes after 12, the door's locked. I got to break in the door to get the keys in order to get my wife home. I said to her, "Honey, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore." Here's some people, they're pretty much just checking the box when they come here on Sunday. And they check it real quick. So that next Sunday, I just got to preach some 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the gospel. Paul's dying and he says, "I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed, For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able. I know whom I have believed, Christ-centered gospel. And I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. I got to the end of the service. I was going to give these 50-something people the opportunity, those that were still awake. I was going to give them an opportunity to commit their life to Christ. The organist was supposed to play. She didn't play. I thought, where is she gone? I looked down at the front, and there she was, right there in front of me. I see her today. Roxanne, green chiffon dress, right there. Tears, laughter, both at the same time. She looked at me. Here's a Metropolitan Opera, head of Florida International University Music. She's looking at me, 8 years organist, and she says to me, I've been the organist 8 years, but I'm not a Christian. Could I become a Christian this morning? I said, absolutely. Prayed with her. Cindy came down and prayed with her. I went to the back. The chairman of the deacons met me before I got to the back. And he looked at me and he said to me, he said, Pastor, I mean, his red face, and he looked at me and he said, what were you doing down there? I said, well, Roxanne wanted to become a Christian. He said, I thought that's what y'all were doing. I thought he was going to hit me. He said, listen, I need to be one. I said, you do? He said, yeah. I said, he said, can I go forward and do that next Sunday? I said, you don't have to go forward, Jack. You can commit your life to Jesus right now. He said, I knew you'd say that. He said, but I've been a hypocrite. I've been chairman of deacons 14 years. I'm a hypocrite. I want to go down there and just tell everybody I'm committing my life to Jesus. Can I do that next? I said, absolutely. Thursday, I got a phone call. Jack cut his thumb off with a power saw. I went to Jack's Memorial Hospital. They had just gotten microsurgical equipment. This is 1980, right before the flood. And they just got microsurgical equipment. Y'all ever heard of the practice of medicine? That's what they did. They were practicing. He's the first one. Hours they spent on it. Sewed everything together, put a button on the end of his thumb, tied it off, wrapped everything up. He's got it up in his head like that when I saw him. Doctor said to him, said, look, if you smell something, come back. That wasn't real encouraging for Jack to hear. And so I went up to Jack, I put my arms around him, and I said to him, I said, Jack, I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, you've committed your life to Jesus. That makes you a target for Satan. But Satan is God's Satan. He doesn't let him do anything that doesn't fit his purposes. And God never says all things are good, but God promised all things work together for good. And God's got a purpose in this in your life. I was about to find out what that was. On Sunday, I stood to preach. As I stood to preach Christ and the gospel, I looked in the back. Jack came in right during the call to worship. He's sitting back there with Beth, his wife. He's got his hand up. I tell everybody, that's my Billy Graham one-time moment in my life. I could have stopped at any moment and said, I see that hand. At any moment, I could have done that. I see that hand. And then I could have said, and the buses will wait for you. I've always wanted to do that. But so he's got his hand up in the air. I finished the sermon. He comes down. I put both arms around him again. I say, Jack, I didn't expect to see you here. Jack said this to me. He said, Harry, he said, God could have allowed Satan to cut my arm off at the shoulder. I'd been here today. It all starts today, the gospel. There came Beth right behind him. Remember those 55 people? 29, no invitation, just stood, came to Christ. God brought life to a dead church. Gospel-driven. No ingenious pastor, just a pastor. Like, why don't you try preaching the gospel? And he comes to Christ. It's a glorious day. Now down there is a multiracial, multi-ethnic church reaching West Indians right there in Miami, and as well as Miamians. God did that. And then I got sent up to Charlotte. You sent me up to Charlotte. Whopping salary, $25,000 a year. Got up to Charlotte, began to do the ministry, meeting in a modular unit, which is a double-wide trailer with the wheels covered up. 38 people. And we're supposed to plant a flagship church that plants a presbytery. What do you need to do? Hey, bingo. How about the gospel? How about the gospel? So a lady comes up to me and she says, Pastor, I'm divorcing my husband. He's run out on me 5 times. He's run out on me. This is the 5th time. He's going to get divorced. I got 4 boys. I need you to pray me through this. So Cindy and I walked through it and I said, Marnie, she's let me use her name. I said, Marnie, I'm going to do it, but I'm going after your husband. Is that all right? You don't mind that, do you? She said, no. We went after him, got him on the softball team, and Steve became a Christian. He came back to me and said, you know, Pastor, I think I'd like to court Marnie. I said, well, you can court her. She doesn't have to marry you, but you can court her. So he was being discipled. He courted her. They got married. She said yes, and they decided to get married. I said, now listen, Steve is up there in the financial industry, the VP level type things. So I knew when we had the marriage, we were going to have a lot of CEOs and UFOs and COOs and all those guys are going to be there. We, by this time, had left the modular unit. We were in a metal gymnasium that we had these chairs we call Widowmakers. They were plastic with plastic legs. And anybody at a certain weight, I mean, they'd just disappear while I was preaching. They just go straight down. And I said, I don't think you want to invite these people here. That wouldn't put your best face. And he said, well, we worship here. Why can't we do our wedding? I said, okay. So we did it. Steve gave his testimony. Marty gave her testimony. Four boys up there did the wedding. Praise the Lord. Just shared the gospel. Great wedding. After the wedding was over, I got a phone call. A guy named Harvey. Harvey said to me, he said, Harry, he said, I work with Steve. And he's been telling me about Jesus and the gospel and all this stuff. And I went to that wedding. I've never seen a wedding like that in my life. He said, can I talk to you about that? I said, sure. Meet me at the Chateau restaurant. So we met at the Chateau restaurant. I pulled out a napkin. I asked him two questions, and I wrote down three things: your situation, God's solution, and your salvation. I explained those three things. I said to him, I said, Harvey, is there any reason why you shouldn't receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And he said, no. And I said, well, why don't we do that? So he prayed, stuck the napkin in his pocket, still carries it in his Bible to this day. He went back to his apartment. He had a girl living there. We call it living without the benefit of clergy. And he went to her and he said, I'm Christian now. You got to move out. She said, you're crazy. He said, I'm a Christian. You got to move out. She said, what kind of cult are you in? And he said, I'm going to this Christ Covenant church. So she came that next Sunday, metal gymnasium, plastic chair. She told me later, she said, I knew you were going to bring a box of snakes out any minute. I knew that. And so, she got mad. She had red hair, red face, red everything. But she had to go out by me. I shook hands with her, introduced her to Miriam. Miriam led her to Christ. Long story short, she becomes a Christian. Harvey and Beth start being counseled and courted, and they got married, and we're back in the metal gymnasium. Now another marriage. And remember, Harvey works with Steve, so all the same CEOs, COOs, everybody's back. Everybody's back. And so they share their testimony. We do the wedding. Next week, I get a phone call. Hey, Harry, my name is Dan, and I work with Steve and Harvey. And they've been telling me about the gospel and Jesus. And I went to those. I've never seen weddings like that before. Could I talk to you about that? I said, sure. Meet me at the Chateau restaurant. So we met at the Chateau restaurant. I pulled out a napkin. I asked him two questions, wrote down three things, shared it with him. I said, Dan, is there any reason why you shouldn't receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He said, absolutely not. He said, let's do that. And so Dan committed his life to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, his wife had left him. I could tell you that she came back. She did not, but God gave him another wife. Her name was Chris. They got married, adopted four kids from Russia, raising them in and for Jesus Christ. And then I get a phone call. This guy's name was Joe. And Joe said to me, he said, you know, Harry, I work with Steve and Harvey and Dan, and they've been telling me about Jesus and the gospel. And I went to those weddings. I've never seen weddings like that before. Can I talk to you about that? I said, absolutely. Meet me at the Chateau restaurant. Bring a napkin. They're out. And so I asked two questions, wrote down three things. He committed his life to Christ. He went home, led his wife, Betty, to Christ. Betty became president of the women of the church. He became president of the men of the covenant. Harvey became an elder, and he and Beth ran our evangelism ministry. Dan and Chris became a teacher in our school, Covenant Day School. And Dan and Chris helped us plant our first church and helped us bring in the Bethany Adoption Agency and the Crisis Pregnancy Center. And then Steve, remember the guy it was all started with? Steve, he's now the vice president of Reformed Theological Seminary, and his wife is the superintendent of Covenant Day School with 1,100 students. You get the picture? That's the power of the gospel. God taught me in Miami. God taught me in Charlotte. Christ-centered, gospel-driven. My bigger deal is just do it and get out of the way. You say, well, Harry, did you say you had three churches? Yeah, I've been pastoring Briarwood since 1999, and God taught me here. God teaches me this here all the time. So we got a sportsman's blast, but folks, that's going to be the gospel, and you got to go bring people to it that you're sharing the gospel with. We got a bridge to life to train you to do what? Share the gospel. We got evangelism explosion. Well, let me just say this. I'll give you a way God taught me here early on. One of these wonderful ways. And this is so crucial that the gospel drives us in worship, drives us in evangelism, drives us in discipleship. But I was taught this a special, very special way. Our EE teams that were doing the training when I first came here, they went out one Wednesday night. And when they came back with the report, I'll never forget this report. I give you all kinds of reports. Let me just give you this one. We ran out of visitors, so we went to some apartments and did the survey. And a couple of our folks knocked on the apartment door, and two guys came. You know, I mean, one guy came to the door. He's got a can of beer, and he's drinking it. And he said, hey, yeah, church, yeah, do the survey. Come on in here. Do you want a beer? No, I don't think so. But could I ask you a couple of questions? Yeah. And then this guy comes out of the bedroom and kind of sheepishly sits down. They share the gospel. One guy keeps making fun of them, making fun of the gospel, but the power, they lifted the hood. And when it was all over, the other guy said, I'd like to commit my life to Jesus. And while he's praying, out the bedroom door comes a woman who they had picked up at a bar. First time she'd ever done that. She said, God sent you here tonight. I'm going to go home. I'm going to ask my daddy to forgive me. But first, I want to commit my life to Jesus. The power of the gospel. So will you pray from this pulpit to every lectern throughout this entire church? Will be gospel driven. And would you pray that God would allow me to open my mouth and preach the gospel? And then would you pray that as we disassemble for 6 days during the week, we will scatter with the gospel to friends and family. And just make one more prayer request. Pray, God, when we bring the power of the gospel, set sinners free. And because of the gospel, may this church be a safe haven for sinners and a death trap for sin.
Hell came to earth in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his sacrificial atoning death for our redemption. Do you trust in the Savior who bore the full measure of God's wrath against your sin so that you might receive the gift of eternal life? Join us again next time as we continue with our series, The Ecclesia, God's Church for the Ages. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's M Perspective was taken, write and request His Gospel, Our Proclamation, or simply ask for message number 11337. Again, that's message number 11337. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD. That includes shipping and handling when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email us at inperspective@briarwood.org. In Perspective is an extension of the Briarwood Pulpit and the teaching ministry of Pastor Harry Reeder. For more information about Briarwood or to review Christian resources available to you and your family, visit us online at briarwood.org or download the Briarwood app. Simply go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. You'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will challenge and encourage your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. The app is yours at no cost. We do hope that In Perspective is encouraging your walk in Jesus Christ. We'd love to hear back from you. Write Harry, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243, or email inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.